Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is September the 11th, 2018. We have a live show for you today, and we'd love to hear from you at any time. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number where you can actually call in. We definitely want to do that. In today's show, we're really going to focus in on getting prepared for the hurricane and just some other things. We'll briefly discuss some other things, but I want to actually have some emphasis placed on the hurricane for those that will be affected by it. And it's going to be, it could be something that could be affecting many, many people. So definitely, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Everyone, please, let's get into the show. But before we do that, let's talk about some of the let's take care of some of the administrative obligations that we have, because we want to keep Black Talk Radio Network on air. Please, please, please give some of your financial energy to this network so it can stay on air and develop the programming even more with more shows, more options for you, and to develop this where it should be. And the only way that it can, that can happen, because it is not a platform that seeks outside sourcing from the mainstream sponsors, which is basically where you give up all control. They when they donate or whenever they sponsor you, they get to tell you what the overall itinerary will be and what the overall how the shows will be dictated and everything else. We don't want it. We won't do that at all. The only way that we can definitely ensure that we stay more holistic and grassroots is for the grassroots to actually provide for the necessities of this platform. And you could do that by making a donation to Black Talk Radio Network at its website, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Once you network can stay on air. You can also support the network by being a member inside of this social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform that you can engage in and not be as adversely affected by the general shortcomings within the social media space, where your identity is actually being mined, or excuse me, your information is being data mined, your identity can be compromised. And not only that, individuals can see things about you and draw an opinion or a conclusion based off of just of your postings or other people's postings that can actually adversely affect you. And they can actually crowdfund themselves against you, where they are actually creating a financial stream of revenue for them, and they're not sharing it with you at all. So come on over to BTR Community, where you can engage in all of your social media activities and benefit from it from there, within reason. Okay? So definitely, definitely do that. Also, if you'd like to acquire real money, then you can do that at Prosperity Mint. You can go to www.prosperitymint.com, prosperitymint.com. Check out what's in inventory there. Then before you make a purchase, make sure you email info@prosperitymint. Let them know that you're a Tando Radio Show listener. Someone will get with you. Make sure that you respond back to them, please. And that is a beneficial, that's something that's beneficial to you, because they want to make sure that you know the proper way to acquire the precious metals in the overall buying and acquiring process. You need to know it. That's to your benefit. It's not going to be used for maintaining your information, sending you emails, all that other stuff, calling you, and all those other things. That will not happen. All right? To your benefit that you do. Okay, so but before we do that, we also have the Legacy Wealth Management Seminar that's coming up this weekend in Dallas. If you're in the Dallas area or you would like to attend, definitely you can email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com, wolf6pack1@gmail.com, and we'll send you the information for that. That is going to how to properly structure yourself in a way that benefits you, your family, from now and for eternity. So very, very important that gives them. A lot of people think that they know different things, but it's actually how to do things is the critical thing. They've heard of different things, but they really don't know how they really practically work. So definitely get email me at wolf6pack1@gmail and just say that you would like more about the seminars, and I'll be presenting as well there. All right, so we're going to get into today's show. We're going to jump into what's in the news, and today's show is going to be part two, Reasons to Prepare. The false flag season is real, and you'll see what I mean by that. And today we're going to pay a little more emphasis to the hurricanes, is not just one, the multiple hurricanes that could actually be affecting you, your family, or the community at large, and that is multiple hurricanes. Hopefully it doesn't come to pass in a big way, that things are starting to ramp up. We're going to get to that. But before we do that, also, like I said, today's show is the false flag season is real. And we are definitely in that. So watching what's going on globally. So that's today's show. We're going to jump into what's in the news. At any time, if you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we will definitely see you in queue and bring you up. First article I got from Sputnik News. Stage filming of mock chemical attack has begun in Idlib. Russian Ministry of Defense said the Middle East Russian Center of Syrian Reconciliation reported all the fake footage of the chemical attack designed to facilitate the implication of Syrian government forces is expected to be sent to different TV channels before the end of the day today. And I think that today is a very important day for to try to ward off any major false flag, but we'll see. It's plenty of time left, and it definitely could be in the mix. So check out that article from Sputnik News. And basically they're saying, and I would spend more time on this, but I won't be able to do this. And I will just say this as we go for today's show is basically the false flag season is real. Definitely there and other places, even these hurricanes could actually be actually something that it appears to be, but it's actually not. And, you know, the word false flag just simply means to me is that someone is doing something and blaming it on someone else for their overall agenda or what their objectives are, and we don't look at the real source of things. So the hurricanes could actually be a destabilizing, they could be weaponized. These hurricanes definitely, in my opinion, can be weaponized, and this may be what we could be seeing here. There's been a lot of earthquakes lately. It could be all natural, very well. If it's natural or if it's man-made, either way, you need to be prepared for it, okay? So that's what we want to emphasize here. But the false flags can even be to the point where they weaponize weather, and definitely see that as being the new battleground as well as the cyberspace. It's not your great-great-grandfather's war of just where it was just espionage and economically displacement and everything else. This one is actually with weather and with cyberspace, and that's where the battlefield really, really is. It's not the old battlefield anymore. That's actually the afterthought. That's actually the afterthought. You actually could lose a war without using the overall battle tanks, battleships, air support and soldiers with rifles in their hand. You can actually lose a war by way of weaponized weather and the electronic field, where the cyberspace could be much more destructive and harmful and beneficial than using nuclear tactical nukes or nuclear weapons. Far more effective. Infrastructure stays in place, people go away. And when I mean by people go away, they're actually able to actually depopulate and kill people in a more effective, efficient way. So, and it's very hard to challenge the adversary on that in that arena. It's basically almost impossible. So here's where we are, and this is what I mean by the false flag season is real. So check out that article. Next article I got from Russia Today: chaos in the White House is not just about Trump, but flawed U.S. political system. So, so true. Check out that article. Next article I got from Criminals Nothing But Criminals, commonly referred to as CNBC. Update. Number 9. As Hurricane Florence nears the Carolinas, 1 million told to evacuate. And it says, we are in the bullseye, North Carolina's governor. With maximum sustained winds of 140 miles per hour, Florence was due to get even stronger before making landfall on Thursday, the National Hurricane Center in Miami said. So check out that. We will definitely cover that today. Next article I got from, very, very significant article. This article came from Reuters Africa. Russia starts the biggest war game since the Soviet fall near China. Russia begins the biggest war game since the fall of the Soviet Union on Tuesday, today. They will be going from, I think it's 8 days that they may be going. I forgot what it was. On Tuesday, close to its borders with China, mobilizing 300,000 troops in a show of force that will include joint exercises with the Chinese army. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. The activation and movement of their largest war game ever is not a game. This is where false flags go from being exercises to actually being active in lives. And this is what I definitely think we need to be preparing for and know about and be on guard for, because there is not just this that happened, but it was multiple things. And this is the largest war game exercise that they've ever conducted, and I don't think that it's a coincidence of the timing of it all. This is how you're able to move assets under the umbrella of, it's just, we're practicing. and it goes live. I definitely do. We are in the position where that can happen. And I'm going to tell you, I do think it's going to happen. And since I do think it's going to happen, I'm making provisions for that myself. I would suggest that you would do the exact same thing. Because it's not just here. Japan and the United States is holding a naval, large naval war game exercise. And there's other places around the globe that are actually doing the exact same thing as well, but on smaller scales. Everyone is gearing up. Either way, this is telling you that there will be a war. There will be a physical war between China and Russia against the United States and all of its allies. China and Russia and their allies versus the U.S. and its ally. Let me say that again. China and Russia with all of its allies versus the U.S. and its ally, Israel. And I'm going to, before we get into the hurricane thing, I'm going to just speak briefly about some of the things that I think could be happening. And it's a perfect Trojan horse in the setup for what's going to happen. Next article got from RT International. 300,000 troops and thousands of war machines. Russia starts the biggest military drill in decades. Check out the video. Next article from Criminals, Nothing But Criminals, commonly referred to as CNBC. Billionaire Ray Dalio is what he said. We are in the seventh inning of the current economic cycle. Ray, the billionaire founder of the world's biggest hedge fund, told CNBC on Tuesday the current economic cycle is in the seventh inning, predicting that it has about 2 years left to run. Ray said on Swatchbox. Check out what he was saying. I totally agree with Ray in a lot of different areas and a lot of different things, but I don't. He's probably right, but I think the timing may be even more much quicker than what he is suggesting. But I'm going to tell you, Ray is prepared. Yes, he's a billionaire, but still, Ray is prepared, and he's actually done some things to, as a in a person in his position, he has to be prepared because he can just as easily as anyone else lose it all. And so he's preparing from where he is, from the from where he works, from who he is and what his conditions are. It doesn't matter who you are, you're going to need to prepare for these things because they will adversely affect you. And you want to seize on the opportunities that's there. There's no difference between Ray preparing and you preparing. Ray just has to prepare at a different scale than you. But you both still have to prepare, because the thing is that when you're not prepared, you have the opportunity to lose everything. When you do prepare and nothing happens, you don't lose anything. You actually gain things. And one of the things that you gain that's very, very important is discipline. Is discipline. So definitely check out what Ray said. Next article got from Reuters. U.S. issues fresh warnings to airlines about using Iranian airspace. Not a good thing. Check out that article, because there's probably going to be military engagement in that area. The United States, let me just read this. The United States has issued a fresh warning to airlines to exercise caution when operating in the Iranian airspace, citing concerns over military actions, including unarmed U.S. civilian operators being intercepted by fighter jets. So definitely, and it's a whole lot more to that too. I think that that airway was going to be engaged in a direct military confrontation. And so the warning is there, and that warning is of the war that is going to jump off. Next article from RT International. U.S. dollar just few short years away from losing global dominance. Investor Jim Rogers tells RT. Definitely check out that. Next article from Waking Times. What I don't like about life in post 9/11 America. Today's the 17th anniversary of the conspiracy that was done at the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan and in other parts of the country. So check out that article. That's pretty good. Next article got from South China Morning Post. why a weak yuan means Trump may have to accept a strong U.S. dollar. And I would just say to you, most people think that a strong U.S. dollar is a good thing. Here's the problem with that. Whenever you have strength in a currency war, the one that has the stronger currency is the one that lost the currency war. So it's actually the strength of the U.S. dollar in comparison to the yuan in a currency war means that China wins and the U.S. loses. And what they lose is significant. Significant. Basically, the loser of the, excuse me, the winner of the currency war is the one that has the weaker currency. And what do they gain? They gain market penetration and they gain trade relevance. The one with the stronger dollar or the stronger currency, the one that loses, what do they lose? They lose market placement and they lose trade standing. Their economy collapses. It's not what you would think, that stronger means you win. In this case, it's the opposite. Weaker means you win. Stronger means you lose. And this is why they're saying Trump may have to accept a stronger U.S. dollar. And that's going to push this overall war paradigm even further. So check out that article. Hope we explained some things to you that you may have not known. Those of you that's in the Tando Radio Show and been listening to it for a while, you've heard that probably before, but reinforcing it because a lot of this is all new to us is very, very significant. I would love to spend more time on that. Probably we'll spend more time on that, not on this Financial Friday because I won't be on air on Friday because I have some things I have to take care of in getting ready for a seminar. So we'll catch that up a little bit later. Next article from NOAA, Hurricane Florence. And I posted all of the data from the National Hurricane Center in Miami, so that you will be aware of that. And we're going to definitely take a look at that in today's show, probably in the whole second hour or maybe even more. But I want to just finish this and then a couple of things and then get into today's show. Next article I got from Barron's. Very important. Listen to this. From Barron's, Hong Kong overtakes New York City to claim the largest ultra-wealthy population. The world's ultra-wealthy population rose sharply in 2017 thanks to the global economic climate, robust asset market, and relatively stable exchange rates against the U.S. dollar running through the year. Hong Kong, meanwhile, saw its ultra high net worth population surpass New York for the first time, and it will never go back in this lifetime. In our lifetime, the overall wealth transfer is going from the West to the East. It's going from the U.S. to China and its allies. It's going to move that way for a little while, temporarily to China and its allies. Then it will move to China. And I definitely anticipate after they take care of the U.S. by way of economic displacement and by war, and then once they start to repossess and section off the U.S., I anticipate that Russia and China will go to war with each other. So that's just me. That's just what I see. And I've been looking at this for a while. Don't know if that will actually happen that way, the latter part of it all. But I definitely see that as that happening, as we continue to see the purge against the U.S. happening. So check out that article. Very, very important. Keen, important one. Next article from South China Morning Post. How threatened should the West move this down? Here it is. Okay. How threatened should the West be by China's China's technology master plan. The Made in China 2025 plan aims to break China's relevance on foreign technology and pull its high-tech industry up to Western levels. But it has become a lightning rod for the West. Eerie in trade, West that's engaging in a trade war with Beijing. And I definitely think that the technology space, because of it's not just China that you have to look at, is really their allies. And some of the allies that I see are some of the tech-savvy countries of the world. I see them in India. I see them in South Korea being, you know, closer allies in the future. And that tech space, that IT space, China is definitely going to draw from that and strengthen themselves from that. And the once again, position will be lost by the U.S. Check out that article. Next article from South China Morning Post. Fragile state at risk of extremism fostered by Russia and China's influence, the report says. As U.S. focuses on preventing attacks at home. Did you hear that? As the U.S. focuses on preventing attacks at home and targeting militants abroad, extremist ideals are taking root in the vulnerable country amidst a global power shift. They just said it all there. This is what the rest of the world is starting to look at and see where the U.S. is, which means that the U.S. is a threat to the rest of the world. And this is how this is the purge of the U.S., everyone. And what I mean by the purge of the U.S., this is where all of the countries are starting to say, you know what, we need to rid ourselves of the Make America Great ideology. Because what made them, what they think was and what they called as being great, was that they was able to steal resources and subjugate and enslave the general world's governments economically, geopolitically, socially, culturally, and militarily. They were able to colonize so many of the vast resources around the world for their benefit. And they're going to say that this is a pariah that we all must deal with so that we can rid ourselves of this once and for all and then establish a more holistic trade platform that is more honest and sincere and evenly yoked. This is what the rest of the world is gearing for, while everybody here has no clue in so many terms. And when I say no clue, because of networks like this, programs like this and others, many people are aware of, but the overall sense of ennui, where nothing is wrong, nothing's going on, you already could tell that, but there is a significant portion of the population that is aware of what's going on here and making amends to that. But the overall vast majority, and I mean the vast majority, thinks everything is okay. And they come up with this phrase, nah, that'll never happen. I don't think it's going to happen that way. When you introduce something to them that they never even heard of, then they say, I don't think it's going to happen that way. Well, how can you even say that and you never even heard or never even knew that that was even on the radar? Because everyone can have an opinion. An opinion is just this. Well, it's absent of fact. Well, no, I won't say an opinion is absent of fact, because some opinions are based in fact. An opinion is something that you may have based off of what it is that you may know, or what it is that what you believe. Now, what you believe can be absent of fact. So very, very, very important, and the vast majority here, they have a normalcy bias that is going to really hurt them. That normalcy bias is that they've been used to everything being well here, that they think that that's going to be the same tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And that is furthest from the truth. It's the furthest from the truth. So check out that article. Okay, so that's what's in the news. And so we're going to, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And I would just ask that we're going to jump into something I wanted to talk about with what's going on in with Russia and China real quick, and then we'll jump into today's show. There was an article that I posted yesterday, I believe. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, it was yesterday. Now, I wanted to tie these two in. Maybe it wasn't yesterday. Well, let me real quickly. Let me find this article really quickly. And if I can't find our article, then I will just tell you what it is. Whoops. Let me click there. We are definitely in the false flag. The false flag season is real. And it is something that is a very powerful tool. Extremely powerful tool. There was an article that I posted yesterday. And I want to pick it up here and I want to tie this in with today because I think that this is significant. And I'm going to give my opinion on this. My opinion doesn't make it right. Uh-oh. Not good. Let me give you a little... Let me check this out really quickly. It may give you a breaking story here that I was hoping wouldn't happen. Okay, let me give you this, and I think it could turn into something much, much stronger. Okay? And there is... it's not really a breaking story. But here we go. This is what's happening now. There's a UN Security Council holding meetings on the situation in Idlib province of Syria. Russia, Iran, and Turkey involving Russia, Iran, and Turkey summit. And this is from Sputnik News. As the Russians have warned plans of a false flag operation in Syria since late August, the U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton said yesterday on Monday that the U.S., Britain, France had agreed that any use of chemical weapons by Damascus would result in a much stronger response compared to previous incidents. What was the previous incidents when they shot all those cruise missiles that didn't hit nothing, and then what they did hit, it didn't even completely destroy, but most of them were knocked out the sky anyhow. On Tuesday, today, the UN, the United Nations Security Council, is holding a meeting in its New York headquarters to discuss the latest developments on the situation in the province of Idlib. Oh, boy. Here he comes. The meeting was requested by Moscow so that the results of last week's trilateral summit between the leaders of Syria, ceasefire guaranteed countries could be discussed. So I wouldn't be surprised from here that this overall chemical weapons thing is going to come out or come shortly after, and then, boom, here it goes. Now the U.S. will say that there's been chemical weapon, chlorine gas that was used by the Syrian government, and then they will say that they're going to attack not only the Assad government, they are actually going to attack Russian and Iranian positions within there. And right now, Russia and China are having the largest drill and moving equipment and already moved individuals into place for this very purpose. They know that this is going to happen, and they're preparing for it because it is going to be at our doorstep relatively soon, that we'll see why there's the urgency that these countries are taking in their overall military actions. There will be a different urgency among in yourself, in your home, because of this. I anticipate, hope it doesn't happen. This is why I'm saying it. Because by me saying it, if it doesn't happen, what's lost? Nothing. But if it does happen and you're not prepared, it's a whole bunch that's lost. What I see happening here is that the stage, the U.S. is becoming desperate and is going to have a measure to stop the Nord Stream 2 agreement. And the only way that they're going to be able to stop it now, they couldn't stop it through sanctions, so now they're going to have to start it through direct confrontation. And they are going to induce, and they're going to instigate, or they're going to actually do acts of violence, or excuse me, acts of international they're going to actually do an act of war. And here's what an act of war would be. They will say that Syria used chemical weapons, chlorine gas, and then they would have facilitated that operation for it to happen, blame Syria, and then they would attack Russian and Iranian positions inside of Syria. That right then and there would be an act of war, and it would start the overall war, World War III scenario that will not be able to be reeled back in. Because immediately when that happens, I think that there will be a naval vessel in the Mediterranean Sea, a U.S. naval vessel in the Mediterranean Sea that will be sunk. There will be a Russian naval vessel that will be sunk. And the overall engagement and exchanges will be so fast and so furious that it will be at an unparalleled speed, because then it would also move into the cyberspace. Then there will be no call for cooler heads, and it'll be too late because all communications will be done. And not only that, all communications will not be authenticated as being valid. And this whole thing will go kaput relatively quickly. And it will have an adverse effect on you and I darn near immediately. So we're going to watch this. This is what I was hoping wouldn't happen. And it kind of is. Now, I want to go back to, there was an article that I had posted, and it was from Sputnik News yesterday. And I'm going to say this because I hope it doesn't happen, because I want to talk about these things, because if it messes up anybody's plan, you never know what it is that you can do. I would just want to prevent some things from happening. There's an article that I posted, and I don't think that I would have that overall capability, but you never know. It's better to speak it and can stop it than to say nothing and watch it happen. Germany may join possible Western airstrikes on Syria, reports. Germany may join possible airstrikes on Syrian government forces by Western nations in the event chemical weapons are used by Damascus, according to a local media. The German Defense Ministry has muddled over joining possible airstrikes by the United States, the United Kingdom, and France against Syrian government forces. The ministry is considering the option in the event of possible using chemical weapons in Syria, which they presume would be carried out by Syrian government troops, the outline says. Early in the day, the French Minister of the Armed Forces, Florence Parly, said that if the chemical weapons are carried out in Syria, response will follow, including those from France. The U.S. State Department spokesman also said in a press briefing that the United States and its international partners would respond swiftly to any verified chemical weapons use in Syria. The Russian defense minister previously warned that the leaders of the terrorist group, which is affiliated with Al-Qaeda and Nusra terrorist organization banned in Russia, was planning a chemical attack against civilians in the Syrian province of Idlib in order to provoke a Western nations into retaliating against Damascus. The Idlib province is currently the last remaining insurgent stronghold in Syria. Let me stop there. I want to get into today's show's lot. So Germany is saying that they may join in attacking the Syrian government. I don't think that that's what they're going to do. And this is just me, because if you look at Germany, and you look at what they where they've made their inroads, the U.S. and Germany have been at each other's throat. When it was not too long ago in 2015, in the summer of 2015, there was a tactical nuke that was detonated, or maybe from the Rams of God, one of the weapon systems that the U.S. has, where they attacked one of the largest ports in China, and this largest internet port. And you could look online where that is where that overall tactical nuke was actually hit China. China had the appropriate response in there. Not yet, we'll get you later. But when they dropped that, or when they engaged, and I think that was a tactical nuke that was used, when that tactical nuke was detonated inside of, I think it was, can't remember the city in Beijing, the port city of Beijing, in Beijing, port city in China. I think it's the third largest port city. When that overall happened, you can see it on YouTube. What was the facility that they, one of the facilities that they nuked that was there? It was the German Volkswagen hub. The U.S. and Germany have been at odds and even at war ever since Germany wanted to repatriate their gold. And then that's when Hurricane Sandy was weaponized and created and steered right into lower Manhattan. Here's what I think is going to happen. Germany and France have already, and France just last week said that they were going to be, want to have military cooperation with Russia. If France is saying that, that's because Germany told them to say it. And the last airstrikes against and cruise missile attack against Syria, Germany didn't participate. Here's what I think is going to happen, y'all. It's a Trojan horse. I definitely think that Germany will move its navy and its air force into position, saying that they are going to be there to attack Syria. But what will actually happen is that they will actually augment and support the Russian effort once they get there. And in augmenting the Russian effort, meaning defending and carrying out bombardments that are in the interest of Russia, Iran, and Syria. Because when the U.S. killed, when celebrity figurehead Trump killed the Iranian deal, it wasn't the Iranian deal where he killed with Iran was the real target, it was Germany. Remember him and Merkel? He basically was going at it so hard, and it looks as if he wanted to actually assault. He was there just to assault Merkel. NATO was gone. But what's the best way to get your overall military assets in position, but to come in and say, hey, we're on your side, and then all of a sudden they turn on you? Because they're not turning on you, you've been turning on them. Because to destabilize Syria means that the Nordic 2, why is the U.S. there? To destabilize and control the resources so that the Nordic 2, the Nordic Stream 2 deal won't go through. Who is the Nordic Stream 2 deal primary beneficiary is? Germany. Without oil, Germany economy dies. Goes back to Hitler. Germany had to invade in World War II, had to invade France for its oil. Just like Japan, they were being starved out. So when this thing kicks off, and this is a false flag, when this thing kicks off, it ain't going to be what people think. Now, that's just my opinion. It would be perfectly placed for them to do that. That's the reason why I see them being there. Hopefully none of this comes into, so we would see it out. Even if they don't do it that way, Germany is going to move against the U.S. I do see Turkey, France, and Germany joining the BRIC nations. And then ultimately, the UK and France. Whenever Germany does it, France will do it right away, and then the UK will do it as well. And this is how you move to the U.S. having no allies but the one allies. All the other ones are going to turn, but they're not going to just turn on them by saying we're not going to support you. They're actually going to turn on them by ways of counterattack and attacking. Totally destabilized. This is what happens to every bully. The bully friends even jump in on the reprisal. The bully friends even say, first they make it, because those that have ever dealt with a bully, have you ever seen when a bully is actually, when there is a when people come together to coordinate an attack on the bully, one of the first things that they do is they create a relationship with the bully's so-called friends. No different. That's what I see here. Because it doesn't meet the rhyme and reason of what's been playing out. Now, could Germany actually engage and actually hit targets and everything else? Yeah, they could. But believe me, they are going to be doing other things that won't be reported subversively as well. I see this turning into a grand scale where arrogance is initiating all of this for the U.S., and its arrogance is what is going to cause its demise. And self, in sense of entitlement, through decades of colonization and subjugation. Because when you have that type of energy, you create a energetic response that is as low as what you've been putting out that will come to weigh against you. That's why our energy is so important. So that's what I definitely see happening. And so as China and Russia all move into position for this war, they have their assets in the position. When things kick off, remember there was a time that, and I can say this now, that the U.S. satellites were knocked offline and things were dark. It wasn't too long ago, and I'm talking about within a couple of weeks ago. And during that time, what probably happened was that there was movement that they didn't want the U.S. to see. And I think one of the movement was the confirmation of the deal that was struck between Russia and China. Excuse me, Russia and Germany with China, where they may have met somewhere and they didn't want the spying eyes of the satellites to see it. And then there was also the movement of assets that they didn't want. And then so when you do that, what do you do now? You want to move assets so that the assets that you moved already, now that you move them again and with the satellites there, they're just not there and they think that they've been moved into tactical position. Boy, this is going to be ugly. It is really going to be ugly. So that's what I'm seeing. And I'm hoping it doesn't happen. I'm preparing for that to be the case. I think you should too. Because I really don't know exactly the exact steps that are going to take, but I can tell you what the exact outcome is going to be. even before it shows itself in any meaningful representation. You will have the untied states of America. The U.S. will engage in a third world war that will turn into GWN1, Global Nuclear War 1, and they will lose, and they will lose handedly and relatively quickly. Then you will have the untied states of America. Different states will say, no way in the world, we're not going to bail you out. We didn't ask to get into this. This is your problem, federal government. We're leaving. And one of the main states that will do that will be Texas. They've already set up all of the necessities to leave. They got their gold back. They don't need the U.S. The U.S. needs them. China and Russia have been making deals with countries all over the world. China has embedded itself in Central and South America. And all of those countries are moving to where? Moving to alliance with. We talked about that yesterday. Against the U.S. When you have no allies, you are dead as a nation. You are dead as a nation. There is no friends in the midst. This is why we talked about this yesterday, because of the significance of the oil down in Venezuela that is necessary for the U.S. to engage in this overall war that it knows it's going to be in. It has to get oil from a relatively close place to be able to move it to its overall war machine throughout the world that will be cut off. Do you realize the disposition the U.S. is going to be in when Germany becomes a part of the BRIC nations, or when Germany says that the U.S. is a enemy, combatant enemy of theirs? When the other countries are going to have their own axis of evil. And the number one is going to be, number one, it will be the U.S., and number two will be Israel. Would you fault them, and could you make a case to say, no, that isn't true? Could you defend that position? I'll tell you, you absolutely couldn't. And would be foolish to try. And when that disposition happens, excuse me, one second. Sorry about that, everyone. And when that disposition happens, all of the countries of the world will have their overall reason and will make their case. And it's going to be a valid, legitimate case against the U.S. and Israel. So I really do see, because of some of the events that have happened, the states within the United States that are asset heavy, they will want to leave the state. California will leave. This is why you hear about California breaking off into different. That's not the reason why they're saying that. Is the real reason is because those that are trying to sever it, they know what it is, but they can't come out and say it. California has always been a jewel in China's eye because of its overall relationships with the overall region of California since Queen Califia's days, which the state of California is named after. There are many states within the corporation of the United States that are asset heavy, and they're not going to take on the overall malevolent debt that was created outside of their so-called control, they're not going to want to pay it. So what are they going to do? They're going to make the deal, the same deal that Mexico is making with China, the same deal that El Salvador, Nicaragua, Panama, Venezuela, ultimately Colombia, Brazil, Chile, all of those countries are making those deals. The states in within the United States will do those same deals. They've already started that movement. If you look at what they've been doing, they will succeed. And when they succeed, they will get the overall protection from who? Who they make a trade alliance with. Part of the trade alliance that they will make is that they will be required to have to be cyber and military defended by the countries that they're in treaty with. It's going to be pretty dramatic. But it's not going to be something where you can sit back and watch it like a movie, because many of us will be the overall crisis actors, or not the crisis actor, or the victims, the crisis victims of the action. So the geopolitical stage is ripe, and this is the false flag season, because it's a ritual practice that they follow, these governments, because they're in one big fraternity. As I always say, they create laws they don't have to obey. They declare wars that they don't have to fight, and they create debt that they don't have to pay. They leave that to the overall, what they consider their slaves. Commonly referred to as citizens. And it's not going to be any different than the historical past empire demises that have been chronicled throughout history and the overall reports of how big and how strong those overall empires were thought to have been invincible. The remnants of them have been scattered, because that's what the system needed. And the system is always going to get what it wants from the paradigm that it's created. And this is another one. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. When we come back, we're going to talk about the hurricane and getting prepared for that. So, so important. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. Scotty, give me 1 minute extra. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com.
You are tuned in
today
to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We're going to move into the this hour of the show is going to be we're talking about the Hurricane Florence and you getting prepared for it. I think it's very, very important because I do think that this it may be something more than what we think. It could actually be a weaponized system, a man-made or a system that was created that developed naturally, but now is going that possibly can be weaponized by seeding technology that man definitely has with the overall weather manipulation that's available to them, that technology and that capability that's there. So either way, need to be prepared for it. And last I checked, I guess the Hurricane Florence it was weakening a little, but is going to start to probably re-pick up strength again. And what I want to do real quickly is that I want to just take a look at for 1 second here. I want to talk about being prepared for this. And let me check the direction of things. Let me get an update here. 1 second. All right. So here we go. So the Hurricane Florence is at a couple of hours ago. And it says 11 a.m. on Tuesday for us. For me, Central Standard Time is 11 a.m. now, but I think this was an hour ago. It's tracked, and it's currently from the National Hurricane. It is a max wind speeds of 130 miles per hour, 135 miles per hour. Movement is northwest at 16 miles per hour. And it is it's probably losing some, but it's going to be gaining, and it's anticipating making landfall somewhere in the region from Virginia to the Carolina coast to South Carolina coast is the overall target area where it could move. And it could probably Friday morning, but probably the storm surges will actually start to impact wherever it's going to make landfall Thursday afternoon to evening, and there's going to be significant. It's the overall strength. Hopefully it will weaken by that time, but it actually will could strengthen and strengthen to a cat. Four, or maybe even move into a major hurricane, a Cat 5. Well, Cat 4 is a major hurricane as well. So this is where it is, and it is some of the things that's bad about this is that area where it could actually make landfall. There are multiple nuclear power plants that are there. So we can not have just like Japan have one Fukushima event on hand. It actually could be multiple. And the overall storm surge on this is registering at 50 inches of water storm surge. So this is a very significant storm. Let me pull up some hardline data on it for that. And but we do know that there has been an evacuation order that was given to, and I posted the path, the National Hurricane Path there. There's actually been an evacuation order for North Carolina that was given the Carolinas itself. Here we go. This is from Reuters. Landfall in the Carolina forecasted for Thursday. Four governors declared state emergencies. We are in the bullseye, North Carolina's governor said. Inland flooding expect to be intensive. Update winds and added. You can find it at NOAA. So today, Hurricane Florence is the most powerful storm to menace the North Carolina coast in nearly three decades, intensifying into a Category 4 hurricane on Monday, yesterday. prompting evacuation orders of more than a million people to higher ground, with maximum wind sustained of over 140 miles per hour. Florence is due to get even stronger before making landfall on Thursday. The National Hurricane Center in Miami said authorities worry that the storm's potential to unleash prolonged rain and widespread flooding across the several states, especially if it lingers inland for several days. So basically, the storm is expected to come in and then to stall and just stay in rotating in that and creating a vortex of water that's just going to be going around and around and around, and it just keeps it coming back in, and the overall storm surge to get even bigger. I would not be surprised if this storm does like the storm in the Hurricane Harvey in Houston area in Texas, to where it comes in inland, and then all of a sudden it hits the reverse gear, puts it in reverse, puts the engine in reverse, and goes back out, hits the overall shore again, goes out to sea, gets stronger, and comes back in as another storm. Storms are doing crazy things now, like that are really spirit of the law impossible, because they are actually being guided and driven by something else, in my opinion. They've been weaponized. And that whole area is significant to infrastructure, the economic infrastructure of the U.S. They take out is a couple of nuclear power plants that are in direct line for this storm. If those nuclear power plants, which are probably weakened anyhow because they probably can't withstand the overall storm that's coming, and they were built so long ago, the infrastructure hasn't been maintained, so there's going to be all kinds of problems. And if there's multiple nuclear meltdowns here, forget about it. Would be a part of the whole plan. Done deal. Get what they want. So real quickly, Florence is expected to be extremely dangerous, extremely dangerous major hurricane through Thursday, the NHC said in its latest bulletin. Mapping of this storm's trajectory shows it most likely to hit the North Carolina shores near the South Carolina border, making it the most powerful storm to threaten the U.S. mainland this year, and for the first of its magnitude in 29 years to strike the Carolinas. Emergency declarations have been issued by both governors in both states, as well as in Virginia and Maryland. We're in the bullseye, North Carolina celebrity figurehead Governor Cooper said. South Carolina's governor, celebrity figurehead Governor McMasters, estimating about 1 million residents were under orders to evacuate the coast of his state. North Carolina has ordered the evacuation of more than 50,000 people from its direct inland states, southernmost outer banks of the Barrier Islands. Emergency management officials report waves already starting to crash over the island main highway, where dunes were breached by heavy surf, slowing traffic to a crawl. Now, one of the things about these hurricanes is as they pick up debris and they start moving debris, that stuff starts to batter. I mean, it starts to, and in the case of some of these storm walls, this stuff starts hitting, and it, once they collapse, water is one of the most destructive forces known. So real quick, let's do this. Off Cape Fear, Florence grew into a major hurricane on Monday morning and was upgraded into a Category 4 on a 5-step scale of hurricane strengthening in midday at the top of sustaining winds of 130 miles per hour by evening. The storm was centered around 1,100 miles east of Cape Fear, North Carolina. So here's the storm that's coming in that everyone needs to be aware of, and some of its, let me real quickly go over just some of its, before we get into some of the things that you should be doing, let's go over into why you should be doing this. This stuff is serious, and you need to be prepared for it. And I would always like to have people prepared for things way before they happen, okay? And it's because the flooding that they're saying is going to happen here, the flash floods that can happen here are going to be extremely dangerous. And once you get trapped by this, the overall, your resources and your ability to respond to it will leave relatively quickly, which will put you in a very life-threatening situation, where if the appropriate action isn't taken, the only thing that you may be able to do is watch the water rise above your head. And I don't want that to happen to anyone. So please take the necessary precaution. It's worth it. It's not worth risking. Here's what from yesterday. I'm going to real quickly from the National Hurricane. This is from them. The rapid intensifying of influence ended just hours after the last advisory. The center pressure falls below nearly 939 MB. Since that time, the eyewall conveyance has become a bit ragged, and the latest central pressure from the Air Force Reserve's Hurricane Hunter aircraft is nearly 944 MB. The initial intensity will remain a possibly to generate 120 KTs for an advisory base of aircraft winds. Microwave images suggest that the Florence may be starting an eyewall replacement cycle. However, the winds from the Hurricane Hunters did not clearly indicate the presence of an outer eyewall, which would be even worse. Florence should remain in a light shear environment over the sea surface temperature of nearly 29 Celsius for at least the next 48 hours. There's a little over than an eyewall replacement cycle to keep the hurricane from intensifying further, as indicated by the intensity guidance. The new intensity forecast calls for the continuous strengthening to a Category 5, although at a slower rate than what occurred during the last 30 hours. Florence is expected to encounter southwesterly shearing near the 72-hour point, which could slightly weaken before landfall, however, there remains high confidence that Florence will be a large and extremely dangerous hurricane, regardless of its exact intensity. The initial motion is 29/11. The building mid-level ridge over the northwest Atlantic is expected to shear Florence west-northwest into a northwest-western with an increase in forward speed during the next 48 hours. After that time, a marked decrease in forward speed is likely as another ridge builds over the Great Lakes to form to the north of Florence. The track guidance continues. So check out and maintain this, but here's the part that's very important. And the key message: a life-threatening storm surge is likely to form along the portions of the coastlines of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. A storm surge watch will likely be issued for some of these areas by Tuesday morning. In all interests from South Carolina into the Mid-Atlantic region should ensure that they have their hurricane plan in place and follow any advisement given by local officials. Number two, a life-threatening freshwater flood is likely from a prolonged and exponential heavy rain event, which may extend inland over the Carolinas and Mid-Atlantic for hundreds of miles as Florence is expected to slow in its approach the coast and move inland. So what is happening, what they're saying is as this storm moves in, it's going to slow up, which is the worst thing that you want a storm to do when it's getting closer to the landfall. You actually want it to speed up and keep going and move through. But if it slows down, what is it going to do? It's just going to continuously pound you. It's kind of like a heavyweight boxer standing in front of you throwing slow punches, but he's going to keep throwing a bunch of punches that are connecting. It doesn't matter. It's the overall intensity that this storm will have. And as it slows, it's going to continue to just whip. The overall rain is going to create freshwater flooding, and the storm surge is going to create coastal erosion that is going to have a storm surge that is going to penetrate into landfall even further, breaking down storm walls and everything else. There's nothing that man can build that can stop the sea. So the slowing of it just before it hits landfall is the worst thing that you would ever want. Damaging, and number three, damaging hurricane forces winds are likely along the portion of the coast of South Carolina and North Carolina, and the hurricane watch will likely be issued by Tuesday morning. Damaging wind could also spread well inland into portions of the Carolinas. Large swells affecting the Bermuda portion of the United States East Coast will continue this week. So this is the key. Life-threatening was issued twice. Life-threatening from the storm surge and life-threatening from the fresh water flooding that may not even have the full impact of the hurricane, but because of the torrential rain and everything else, you're going to have flash flooding, freshwater flash flooding everywhere, or in areas that are going to actually jeopardize human life. There's a lot of people living in these areas. Some parts of this is densely populated, some parts aren't. But the effect of this can be huge. And then, God forbid, if it takes out one or two of these nuclear reactors. If it just takes out one, it's over. It's over. Could you imagine not having North Carolina? So, and this is the key here. They said hundreds of miles. Now, if you think about hundreds of miles, that's talking about flash flooding that goes from, that covers all of North Carolina, Georgia, it covers parts of Georgia, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, and into New Jersey. Huge. Huge, huge, huge. So, with that being said, we know that the hurricane and the danger is there. You've been given some time to have a response to it. If you live in a hurricane-prone area, you should always already have provisions outside of a hurricane season for what you need. But we still need to go on. The most important thing is that you have to have a plan not to be there when the storm comes. That's the most prudent plan for you to have. Now, so what? Nothing may happen and you come back to where it is that you live, or you get delayed, or you inconvenienced by traffic, or you hear everybody else complaining, oh, nothing happened. They always do this to us, and it didn't turn out to be nothing. Thank goodness you are coming back. People, they say they appreciate something, but they really don't. People have been taught to only complain about things. So what if you leave and it was not necessary for you to have left? But see, if you don't leave and something does catch you, it'll be too late. Now you can't leave, and you're going to be stuck there. And I don't want anyone to be stuck there because they just didn't figure it out. How dangerous these things are in today's world. These aren't our grandparents' hurricanes anymore. They go in reverse. They defy physics. they take out nuclear reactors. They are pounding an infrastructure that has not been maintained. Watch how many roadways collapse by way of sinkhole and erosion because they haven't been properly maintained, because the U.S. economy, the common person's economy, has been in depression ever since. They haven't been maintaining these bridges and these roads and everything else. This is why you have to take the appropriate steps to protect yourself and your family. Have a plan. Have a plan to where you leave. And yes, if you leave and things go bad and you come back and then there's vandalism, you've actually been burglarized or whatever, that's okay. You can replace all of that stuff. But if your body is floating in the water, that's not going to stop the burglars from taking what. But you just won't be able to replace it. It's not going to stop it. In the worst case scenario, I have to express the worst case scenario because of the potential for this and because of the geopolitical climate in the world. I don't think it's a coincidence at all. The plan, the actual plan. There are things that you should be doing right now. And we're going to talk about some of those things that you should be doing right now, because that is the most important thing. Don't wait. Let me tell you, I actually went out into the garage yesterday and I saw some gas. I was like, oh, man, I forgot I had this doggone gas, because I try to rotate my gas, keep it fresh and everything else. That's a good problem to have. That's a real good problem to have, other than not having it at all. Gas, as you're already going to see, there's already started, people have already, you already know in the areas that you've been affected, everybody's up, been to all of the stores and started to clean off the shelves and everything else. Having the ability to get out of harm's way generally requires that we don't do a cart and buggy anymore. It usually is by car. And some of the things that are some of the bad sides of cars is traffic and gas. You need to leave early enough to get out of traffic's way. Then you need to leave early enough to be able to get gas on to where your destination is going. You have to determine where that is, too. I don't care if you got to determine that while you're on the road, even if you're just getting out of the way and then sleeping in your car. It's better than anything else. Then you're going to have to worry about having the overall means, finances, to be able to get from and get back. See, one of the things we're preparing, and this gives us a keen example of why you prepare when no one else is looking. You prepare for things when no one else is threatened by them. Because once the threat is there, now you're going to be competing for everybody for road space, gas, and you're going to be competing against the overall finances that actually harm us all. We needed to be disciplined 1 year ago to have real money to be able to use in case of emergency. Not cash, real money. But you should, because what you could have did was, if you had real money, you can convert it back to cash and had the cash to use for this case. But using cash in this case is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. You actually need to have some cash in this example. But you need to prepare for that stuff beforehand, because how many people do you think are going to get caught because they don't have cash? Some people wouldn't have had the cash a year ago. I understand that. But I'm speaking more about the individuals that did have the means to prepare, didn't have the discipline to do it. Now they get caught by this. There are things that you should be doing now. And the things that you should be doing now is that you're going to need gas, time, and finances to get to and from, to your destination, be able to sustain yourself there, and then be able to get back. And this is for millions of people. Because it may be 1 million that's evacuating, but that overall displacement of 1 million people is going to affect probably multiples of two times that. Very important. One, you need to get gas for your vehicle. You need to have water. You need to have food. For those of you that have that are on medication, that your life depends on that medication, you need to have that medication. Those of you that have illnesses that require electricity, you should have been gone way before. And you should be going way before, because you being set up is critical. Having the necessary means is very, very important. You need water. You need to be able to purify water. Because what if you can only go so far and you get trapped because of the flooding and everything else? And the water that you have was only for 1 or 2 days. Or you lose it. You want to have a means to purify water, because you may have to. In certain circumstances, it's better to have something and not need it than need it and not have it if you can't carry it. This is why preparing early enough and getting out of harm's way makes life a whole lot easier. There are so many variables. The closer you wait to this storm happening, you're going to be besieged by adversity. Because there's so many variables that are going to go in. And everything is cute and funny until the water rises. Everything's a little party until the water starts to come in. And then there's a sinking feeling in your spirit and in your heart. And there's a sinking feeling that you say, uh-oh. And many of you won't say, uh-oh. It'll be, oh, shoot. But it won't be shoot, the word that you'll use. You need to avoid that. Get out early. It's not our grandparents' storms anymore. Then you're talking about winds and trees falling. You know how many trees are in this area of the country? Power is definitely going to be knocked out. Power will be knocked out just from the winds at a Category 4. Category 5 winds? Forget about it. So you're going to need to be able to deal with no power and everything that goes along with not having power. That depends on you as a person. That may be just as small as having flashlights and candles for some people, but that may be something different for the neighbor or this person or that person. If you have a family member, especially an elderly family member that's in this area, please take the appropriate precautions for them. Young children, babies, you know, single moms with 1 or 2 children, their young children, please take and extend assistance to your family. Have them move out of the way of this. Listen, we're getting ready to go into a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the things that you may need to acquire before the storm, and then once you get out of, even if you're migrating away from running to the storm, there are some things that you're going to need as well. It's not just getting out of where you just think of getting out of the way. There are other variables now that you're going to have to be contending with. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to call in and give your suggestions, we'd love to hear it. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you like to get in on the conversation, something that you would like to say, if you're in the area, the affected area, would love to hear from you on what's happening. Hopefully, you're moving out of harm's way, if you can. And we want to talk about, for those that can't move out of the area, I want to prioritize some things here. First, we want to talk about those individuals that won't be able to move out of harm's way, some of the things that you should be thinking about and doing. This does happen to all of us, and we still need to assist and help as many people as we possibly can, because people will be facing this storm, which, like I always said, and well, what I said earlier, this is not our grandparents' hurricane. These are more, in my opinion, weaponized hurricanes. They have a reverse. They have a left signal, a right signal that they turn on and defy gravity and everything else. They do so many other things. So we're going to touch on that. But if you are like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. All right. So here we go. We want to focus on some of the things that if you can't leave, okay, if you can't leave, of course, you want to try to flood-proof your home as much as you possibly can, board up things that you can board up, prevent water coming in from different places. You know, make sure that your gutters are as clean as you possibly can get them without hurting yourself. Very dangerous and deadly there. And then you want to make sure that you have the provisions, the necessary provisions. This is a case where you really do want to rely on canned foods at this type of event, okay? Make sure you have canned foods and can opener and things of that nature. You want to be able to consume things that you don't have to cook. If you can, that should be priority number one, is having food and water and shelter and having means to where you can protect your belongings. You know, bag your personal effects that identify you and everything else. So make sure that you have that, okay? They're going to come out later on for individuals that aren't able to leave. They're going to tell you to put your Social Security number on your arm and all this stuff in case you are overwhelmed and a casualty of this overall hurricane, that they would be able to identify your remains. And I don't hope that that is going to be the place with that. To me, it's not even worth the effort. Now it's the F time to think in a more direct way to protect yourself. So you want to have canned food items, because the water will not compromise the can. And you're also going to want to have water purification. Most of the stores have probably been picked bare of things. So being able to purify the water is very, very important. If you're going to be staying and you're in the direct affected area, some of the things that you're going to be looking at that is going to be affecting you is flooding. You need to have an appropriate response to that. Okay? You need water. Food and canned food is the one that I suggest more, because you don't have to cook it. But if you're going to have other emergency food that you can cook and ways to cook it, that's great. But also be careful about the ability to be able to cook, because if you're not going to be the only one that's there, and then once this storm happens and then the overall effect of this, your cooking may bring in unwanted attention from people that you didn't want to know that you had something that they desperately now need. Okay? You get an ugly situation. You need to be prudent about everything that you do now. You need to, have a way for, in case the power goes out, lighting, and probably you want things that are going to last a little bit longer. If you could get candles, that's great, but flashlights and things of that nature, that's cool. I think the headlamps are probably some of the best ones, but, you know, most people are really sticklers that that's an absolute must, and people think that that's the end of all preparing for things is having a flashlight. So what? You got a light and you don't have anything else. Focus on the priorities, all right? You want to protect your home. You want to have wood, sandbags, if you can, duct tape, an axe in case you need to. If you are in a home, already have a plan to where if you needed to evacuate to your roof from within your home, set that up now. Okay? Set that up now. And how you're going to get through that roof. If you have electrical power that you could do that there, likelihood if at that time it won't be any electrical power, but you're going to need the essential axes and things of that nature to be able to get out of that. Have a plan. Set that and put those things in place. And how you're going to get to that overall roof is very, very important. Okay? Have that in place. If you can, if you have the ability, the trees around your home, take a survey, and the ones that you can cut down in a safe way or trim back in a safe way wouldn't be a bad thing to do. Would not be a bad thing to do. Also, with your supplies, in case you are in the flood zone or affected area, if you did need to evacuate to your roof, do you have a life preserver? Okay? Even if you don't, everyone, do you have flotation device that you can use for you and your other people in your family, because that is something that is always, always overlooked when it comes to hurricanes and flooding. A life preserver vest could be extremely useful, especially when the overall violence of the storm is happening. You know, God forbid you twist your ankle, you mess up your leg or your arm, and just, you know, swimming with wet clothes on, it's a difficult thing. Difficult thing. So these are some of the things that you need to actually be aware of. Have an evacuation route. Try to find a clean evacuation route that's not around. Know where your rivers or your streams and all of that flooding could come from. If you are staying, then you need to be doing as much research on your area on what has happened in the past and how things worked before in the past. You need to be paying attention to that. And we've already seen the past hurricanes, the recent ones. This one could be just as bad or worse than those. So keep that in mind when it comes to you deciding on what you're going to do. For those that are going to stay, I would suggest that that's what you need. For those of you that are going to leave, make sure you leave early enough. Okay? Make sure you leave early enough. And then have a plan as to where you're going. It probably would be better for you to go to family, and I know that I'm saying some things that you've already probably thought of, that would be best, or a friend that you can go to and stay with them. Now, here's some of the things that you're going to need. You're going to need, just in case the power is out in that whole area, you're going to need to be able to access funds to get back home, or to sustain you where you go. You also are going to need to put resources of food, and I would say in all cases, you always want a week's worth of food. If you're going to be staying, you're going to want a week's worth of food for each individual. If you're going to be leaving, you're going to want a week's worth of food, and you want to leave early enough. But some of the things that you're going to be contending with is that there may not be a lot of hotel space when you leave, because it's a million people that have been given an evacuation order. The more you go out, the people will probably first start to book up all of the hotels that are close, and they're going to keep going further and further and further out. The further and further and further out you go without being able to have, if you don't have family and friends, is going to be more expensive for the hotel rooms, and the availability is going to be less. So now there's going to be a financial burden for you to be able to withstand that and get back. So these are the things that we need to think about. But it's always better to leave and then have to think about those things, because there are different situations and opportunities that will come up because you're not in harm's way, which is a good thing. All right, but these are just some of the things that you need to speak about. Something that's very, very important is try to map out your overall escape route that actually does not go over water, streams, rivers, or things of that nature, because you may get out in time, but you may run into something because you didn't know, you don't know the area, you just ran into a stream or a river that floods just in heavy rain. But with torrential rain from a hurricane, now you get caught in a flash flood situation. So your overall route is extremely, extremely important, and leaving on that route early enough. Now, once you leave, getting back, you want to wait to make sure that you're going to be able to get back in one fluid motion. Because once again, if you try to come back too early, all of the hotels are going to be booked. And then what if you run into flooding issues? Now you start to run into gas issues trying to come back too early, where now you get trapped because on your way back, you ran out of gas because there was no gas that's around when you were trying to get back. The aftermath is going to be significant. Trees are going to be knocked down, so the overall, your way back in is going to be compromised.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, people can feel the effects as far as way as Tennessee. So I'm thinking about, you know, our BTR family in that area. Not so much the strong winds, although I don't know. But they are, you know, saying flooding and stuff like that. So it's not just the coast. But if you're in North Carolina, South Carolina, or Virginia, that's mandatory evacuations. They're estimating that at least 1 million people are going. So, I mean, if you live in those areas, you should have already left. You know what I'm saying? You should have already left. In the aftermath of that, let's say you are able to get out of the affected areas, but then you want to go back to your home. Well, what is that going to look like? National Guard, right. Vigilantes, because, you know, we have to also remember what was that that hit New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina? That displaced so many people, but there were reports of cops and vigilante white citizens shooting people, black people trying to escape the flood. So it's a number of things. Right now, what we're hearing from the prisons is that they haven't ordered no mandatory evacuation of them, or I'm sorry, they haven't evacuated them. And, you know, many of those jails might have old infrastructure problems. They left people stranded, matter of fact, in the jail in New Orleans.
They didn't evacuate any of those individuals.
So you have to take this serious, you know. I'm based in Western North Carolina. I wasn't here for Hurricane Hugo. I know the farmer across the street, man, he brought me some okra yesterday, and he, you know, was like concerned about it. And he was saying, man, it was It was messed up up here, you know, during Hurricane Hugo. But I was in the military at the time, you know. But I heard how bad it was, man. But, you know, thankfully, we don't have a lot of pine trees and what have you around our home anymore, you know, because storms have knocked over other trees. And thankfully, because we blessed, it didn't hit the house. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in better shape, man. But then well, our family's in better shape than they have been in the past. But like you mentioned, these, especially in the rural areas, that's heavy trees, foliage, knock down power lines, and what have you. So I do know I got to go pick up some extra gas for the generator. You know what I'm saying? Most people in those areas, you know, have generators. But if you don't have one, and you get trapped there, you know what I'm saying? It just depends on how far away you are from help and who you around. You may not be around family. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, please take this serious. But mandatory evacuation for the coast of Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. So I imagine there's people already on the move.
And it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. And Jenna says, and like Scotty was saying, don't forget about the people waiting to rob, steal, and kill. And that's very, very true. And these are all the things that you have to, because the aftermath is going to be another set of problems. Just because the storm is over, is not, and it's, you know, a million people moving, and then the effects of that, because now you're going to have many people moving out. So then now the trees get knocked down and everything else. So now that bottlenecks the overall route back home that people could take. And that could take a long time because of dealing with everything else. And then you have to wait for the water to recede before you can. It's so many things. A hurricane is no joke. Definitely need to be prepared for this and put yourself in a position of advantage. Utilize the time now. Work on this now, right away. Don't wait until it's too, because the thing about hurricanes is that at least they give us, you're given some time before it happens. Imagine when an event happens with no warning. But look at how much this is going to affect with warning. And just what I really want you to do is that survey this in your overall, when you're leaving and making your plans, survey this to where how important it is to be prepared. Just think about if you were prepared for this before it happened, what would you have done different, knowing that this is now a reality? You can't ignore the reality now. Imagine what you could have done if you knew this was coming and that you were going to be in this position. What would you have done differently a year ago? That is how we should be looking at pretty much many things that we should be preparing for, that are actually the warnings are there that this overall storm is upon us. And that's happening in the economically, that's happening geopolitically with the overall wars. And this is a storm that at least you were given some indication that was coming. And we could see how it puts us in how inconveniencing this thing is and the problems that go along with it. They are many. So why would you ever want to be caught with a major event without warning? So this is why we do what we do. Listen, everyone, it's never goodbye. Please make sure that you're aware of what's happening. Take the necessary precautions. Move right away. Think about when they say a million people from North Carolina, South Carolina, and the surrounding areas have to move. Think of what that displacement really means. That means that, oh, shoot, I'm in the middle of a stampede. I just can't hear the trembling. But make sure that you know and take the appropriate steps. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Watch this storm with Noah, and you can do that if you're inside of Tando Radio Show, if you're inside of Black Talk Radio Network, BTR community. You can go to the National Hurricane website, see what's going on, make the appropriate adjustments, and you'll be fine. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a blessing, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.